The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to another UAB Director's Chair Show. I'm Tony Curry, your host, and of course, he's Mark Ingram, the athletic director for your UAB Blazers. Football season well underway, and of course, we got college hoops right around the corner. Mark, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm terrific, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I cannot believe the college football season is already into week 8/9. We'll get into that in just a few minutes, but I did want to throw out a big congratulations to Jelly Walker, Jordan Walker, 2023 Bob Cousy Award participant. 10 guys, 10 point guards. Talk about a little about what he means to this basketball program and how excited you are about Andy Kennedy getting back on the hardwood.
Well, yeah, thanks. I mean, there's a lot of good things there. Our first game, it's an exhibition game, is this coming Monday, November the 1st. So we're thrilled about that. Looking forward to seeing that team get on the floor. Andy's a terrific coach and loves UAB and really a joy to work with. And just couldn't say enough good things about the program right now, to be honest. And Jordan Walker, who Andy describes as a transcendent player, joining our team last year and being able to walk in the door and do as well as he did has been really special. Be the player of the year, the MVP of the tournament last year. It's just been a huge lift. You know, your point guard is like your quarterback, right? And so Jordan can score and does score a lot. But he distributes the ball, which makes other people better. He draws attention from the defense, and it frees up other players. So his value is multifaceted. It's not just scoring. It's being able to distribute the ball and make other players better, and it's just a great weapon. So he's a terrific kid who's got his college degree and really a great representative of us. He's a humble guy, even though you might not think that watching him. And it's really just he's a confident player. But when you talk to him off the court, he's actually a very almost, I don't know if I want to say soft-spoken, but somewhat soft-spoken kind of guy. And, you know, big smile on his face all the time, really positive, loves his teammates, loves playing here. This is the only team, he says, that he's ever been on that was really a winner. And so he's having a great time being able to display his talents at UAB with another group of players who can win.
A guy who averaged 20 points a ball game last year, went over 30 twice in the tournament, including that 42 spot against MTSU, which was incredible to watch. I remember being at that game and watching him go off. What do you think his future holds for him? He does have his degree already. Is there any space for him in the NBA? Does he have the size to pull that off?
Well, I'm probably not qualified to answer that, frankly, Tony, and I'm not dodging you. I just, you know, being candid, There's plenty of people that are his size that have had success in the NBA. And so certainly I would think that he's going to get some looks, but he's got a future playing for money somewhere, whether it's in the NBA or overseas. But Jordan Walker's not playing his last season of basketball this year, I don't think at all. You mentioned that 42-point night. You know what's really hilarious about that is Andy Kennedy put him back in the game. He had taken him out for about 5 minutes to rest prior to that. So it's not like he played 60 minutes of basketball, you know, or 40 minutes of basketball, excuse me. He took his typical breaks as he typically does. And I tease with Andy, I'm like, you took him out so that you could slow his scoring down, you know, because he beat Andy's record, obviously. And he didn't, but I don't know that anybody was actually more excited for Jordan Walker than Andy Kennedy.
Well, this is the UAB Director's Chair. It's a great show you can hear on Tony Curry Radio. Download that TKR app like tens of thousands of folks have already done. We greatly appreciate that. Listen to it wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major indice out there. Just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast, Curry with a K, and you can check it out. Mark Ingram, the athletic director for UAB. Let's talk some football here. The NCAA Division Board of Directors this week approved some new guidelines when it comes to name, image, and likeness. I know we got into this last week. I know how fevered and how passionate you are about this. What new stuff did we learn through this approval?
Well, to call them new guidelines, I would just say approved guidelines. We really haven't had any I say that tongue in cheek, of course, but you know, it's a small step towards creating some guardrails around it to try to understand what you can and cannot do. I didn't really see it as a huge change, quite candidly. I thought it was almost much to do about nothing, really, but we've got to have some guidelines in place. There was a great article written by Dennis Dodd on yesterday where he points out some of the schools that have had great success in the NIL space, not really NIL space, but collective space, but yet their results don't equal what you think their payroll would equal. And then I believe it's Sonny Dykes from TCU has some quotes, or is quoted in that same article, talking about how he believes still that there are football players, really good football players, that love playing football and want the opportunity to play football, and that, you know, being able to give them $1,000 a month or whatever is really not, shouldn't be the driver, and he believes isn't going to be the driver to long-term success. I agree with that. I still think the foundation of your success has to be with, you've got to have great facilities where the kids know when they visit that this is a place where they have all the training tools needed to be successful, that they have, you've got to hire great coaches who use those facilities as like a sales tool in recruiting. And, you know, you couple that with alignment with your athletic director and your president about your sport and being successful in your sport. And I think these kids are smarter than we want to give them credit for, and their families is, most of them see the long term, the long game is better than the short game, but not everybody thinks that way, and that's okay too, you know, and you probably have to have a mix. So this is not anti-collective or anti-NIL as much as to say, anyone who thinks that that's the only thing, I don't agree with that. I still think the foundational principles of great facilities, great coaches, get great players, and you may need to layer in some of these collective deals to get a few players, but certainly not your entire roster.
Is the NIL situation, is that strictly at the university level? And what I mean by that is, obviously, conferences want to be strong too. They want to have all their members doing extremely well, because conferences winning championships obviously looks good for the conference itself. But is there any conference affiliation or anything being said from the president's level, from the actual universities itself, but also the conference level when it comes to NIL stuff, or are they just kind of hands off?
It's more questions being asked than statements being made.
Yeah.
You know, it's more, what are y'all doing? Is anybody doing this? Have you heard of this? So, you know, I was part of a working group from the American Athletic Conference to discuss NIL. Where are we? To respond back to some of our senators who are trying to create some federal legislation that really just makes it the same in every state. Whatever the it is, that the it is the same here as it is in Nebraska, which is the same in Texas and California, and so that state by state you don't have different rules, just to create, well, this is what the NCAA did from its inception, to create parity around the country so that everybody's playing by the same rules. And so I'm supportive of that. But in those conversations, it was interesting to hear, you know, one school say, well, we have a collective that's attached to a charity, and so our players, they put out social media messages saying that if you give to this collective, that you also support this charity. And while that's not a lie, they're going to give 3 to 5% of their earnings to some charity who's happy to take the money because they are a charity. They're a true charity and need it. But it's awfully disingenuous to put out social media messages there. I mean, to me, you're abusing the charity. I don't feel good about that. Yeah. And I'm glad to give money to the charity, but I don't think when you're giving, you know, 5% to the charity, you're keeping 10% for a management fee, and then the other 85% goes to the players. To say that, hey, supporting this supports that charity, while not a lie, is not 100% true either, and I don't feel good about it. Others are aligning them with a business. You know, collectives are not businesses. They don't do any business. But some people are putting them, creating accounts at businesses to say, well, no, we're associated with this business. It's like, we just find loophole after loophole after loophole just to help you sleep at night. And it would just be so much easier to just do the right thing and everybody be honest and say, look, this is what's permitted. This is what's not permitted.
Yeah. And right now, I don't think anyone really knows the rules. We know that in college football, there's a lot of pushing of the envelope. Yeah. But I want to say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But
I really do believe what I mentioned a minute ago that Sonny Dykes said is that there's a lot of young people that love to play.
Yeah.
And we focus on the few that are getting these mega deals. There's very few people getting those sort of deals, and they're actually slowing down. While deals are not slowing down, the size of them is slowing down. And I think the people that were writing the checks a year ago, you know, you write a check to a player, it's a big check, and then the player doesn't start, or the player gets hurt, or the player transfers. And now how good do you feel about writing that big check? So some of that has slowed down a bit, but I still believe that ultimately in our country, the opportunity to get an education and to serve a community and to be a part of something really special is still valuable, and is valuable to most of them.
You're listening to the UAB Director's Chair. He is the director, Athletic Director Mark Ingram of the UAB Blazers. We've been talking some hoops, some college football. Did you by chance see what Jimbo Fisher said a couple days ago, speaking of everyone wants to play? He's obviously under the gun. A lot of people down at A&M land aren't real happy with their football program. They have scored less than 24 points. 24 points or less their last 9 ball games. They're 3-4. UMass, the only game on their schedule, looks like it's a must win, or at least it's going to win coming up. But he recently was asked about the situation going on. He just suspended 3 more players from that 2022 number one class, recruiting class, and basically said, do you want to go to a program that's always winning? Because if you are, you're not going to play. What were your thoughts on what he said?
I worked in football recruiting in my first job, and I can tell you that you have two different stories in recruiting. If your team is less talented and you're trying to build the talent, you say, hey, if you come here, you have an opportunity to play sooner than if you go to that other place that won the championship. If you're at the place that won the championship, you're saying things like, we're elite. You know, not everybody can play for the Yankees. Come be a part of something. You know, we see you as an elite of elite. This is where you belong. And you're going to compete against other elite players every day in practice. And that's ultimately going to make you better for the next level. Both of these things are true. It's just a matter of where your program is at the time as to the message that you're delivering in recruiting.
And he's in his fifth year, and obviously a lot of people were perhaps thinking he'd win a national title down at A&M with all the money and resources they have by year 5. I'm not so sure.
Well, he's done it before,
yep.
Right?
I mean, yep.
Give the guy a lot of credit. He's won a national title before, and they do have a lot of resources. But, you know, so do other people.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. Remember, everybody's coaching. Everybody's recruiting. Everybody's building stuff. It's just winning is hard, and the margin for error is razor thin at the top. The closer you get to the very top, the smaller that margin is. One player is the difference in the game. You know, I don't want to take anything away from the University of Georgia, but I was fortunate enough to – I was on a committee that put me in a position to attend the national title game last year, and I remember Alabama had a receiver who had gotten injured maybe in the SEC title game. Or a game or two before the final, and then had a receiver get injured early in the game, the national title game. And quite frankly, I think that's the difference in the game. You know,
yep.
So you're talking about two players. They got other really good players that were just less experienced and hadn't had enough time on the field. And there's something to be said for that. And so my point just being is Georgia had a great football team. And hats off to him for winning it all, but just see how one player or two players being injured and how the complexion of the game, maybe it wouldn't have been different, but boy, it felt like that was a significant difference in that game.
Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. If you have an email question for you, we do have a question at the end of our podcast here, our show here with Mark Ingram. It's totally unrelated to basketball or football. You're going to love this question, Mark. It's coming up here in just a few minutes.
Can't wait.
I do want to ask you, I love this time of the year because we're 7-8 weeks in. We have a really good sample size of most football programs right now. You played your cupcakes, more than likely you played a top 25 team. You know what your team's made of. You know where your health is, your injury status, and everything else. But you also see people kind of flying off a little bit. I mentioned the Jimbo Fisher situation. Kirk Ferentz, of course, had to issue an email apology a couple days ago because someone questioned his son, who, of course, is on his staff. That's not doing a particularly job at a 3-4 Iowa squad. You had the Jermaine Burton push after the Tennessee game. It looks like everyone's kind of losing their brain, losing their brains a little bit. And I wanted to ask you, and I talked to you about this before we started the show. Every time I go to Protective, I see you on the field. You're a handshaker. You're an athletic director. You always know that you have the brand and the likeness of yourself on the program that you're representing. And then sometimes you just see these guys fly off the hoops. And I understand that right after a football game, sometimes it's really hard to keep your emotions in check. Do you guys talk about that at all? Do you talk to the coaches, the staff, the players, and remind them that what they're representing is super important? And that, yeah, you're going to have an overzealous reporter occasionally throw out a stupid question. You just need to get through it.
Yeah, of course we do. And you're always carrying the flag, right? If you work here, you're always carrying the flag, whether you're wearing our gear or not. People know who you are. There's more people that know who you are than you realize that know who you are. They know where you work. And so the way you talk to people and treat people all the time is being measured. I am by far perfect, and I have to remind myself of this all the time. You know, this industry that I'm in, athletics, outside of, you know, some of the higher political offices, I don't know of a profession where people get openly, publicly criticized the way that our coaches do.
True.
And yeah, athletic directors and players for all sorts of things. And social media has provided a platform for people to do that. And more frequently, those people, I'd be okay with it if everybody had to use their name. Yeah. But when you've got, you know, T-Dog 25, you know, is really tough, you know, behind that fake name and sitting in mom's basement, you know, throwing arrows at you. And that's hard. I mean, we're all still people, right?
Yeah.
And you're a human, and you're right. Right after a loss is a tough time, particularly after a loss of a game that you thought you were going to win or should win, or, you know, every win matters, but some feel to matter more than others. And it's easy to get caught off guard and react in a way that you wish you hadn't. And in today's world, there's little, if any, forgiveness for just making a mistake. And sometimes people get a pass, but more times than not, they don't. And which I also, is a different topic, but I also think it's unfortunate because, again, we're all human beings and we make mistakes, and I think it should be afforded some every now and then, but depending on what we're talking about. But it's hard, man. It's really hard. And winning is hard. And you might say to whom much is given, much is expected. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But you're still a person. And so depending on how a question is phrased or the timing of the question, or, you know, fan runs up to you and says something to you in the park. I mean, I've had people say things to me in the parking lot, and you just think, man, you would never say that to your neighbor.
True.
You know, you would never say, you know, you would never go to your neighbor's boss, your neighbor that's a plumber, and just, you know, go to his boss and say, I don't think he's very good. I think he should lose his job.
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Who does that? Nobody does that. And, you know, imagine how you'd be seen in the neighborhood. But in sports, it's just totally acceptable to not only say it, but to say it publicly to as many people as you can say it to and get others to do that. And it's just an interesting part of our society that's an acceptable thing to do. And look, I know that, our coaches know that, we all know that getting into it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's difficult.
By the way, Mark Ingram's Twitter handle is UAB_AD, so he does not hide behind anything. Feel free to tweet him anytime you want. All right, we got a question here, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, and we'll let you fly. Janice in Hoover wants to know, she's been to every game this year, every home game, football game. She wants to know who picks the music when the games are going on, and she wants to know your three favorite bands.
I love Sweet Janice.
Yes.
mainly because she's been to all of our home games. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Sweet Janice and thanking her and her family and whoever
else. Sweet Janice, yes.
If Sweet Janice will keep coming and bring her mama and her mama's friends and her friends and everybody she knows, we will hug on Sweet Janice. So I'd love to know if Janice loves the music or hates the music. But you know this, Tony.
Yes.
Not all, but a lot of that music has been hand selected by yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
And not all, but we have a fantastic marketing person named Leah Clayton. Leah is largely responsible for what gets played when, but she knows she's going to get a lot of random texts on the weekend or at night. Like, I'll hear some song that I'll get reminded of. Ooh, this would be great for third down. What do you think of this one? You know, I'm sending her stuff all. I sent her three songs the other day from Earth, Wind, and Fire that I thought would be great for basketball, you know. And I'm a music buff. I love all kinds of music. So it's just something that it's fun for me. It's kind of a fun part of the job. My three favorite bands, oh boy, and I do like all sorts of music. That is, you know, that's hard to ask a music lover. I grew up just loving Van Halen.
Yes.
I loved them. You know, David Lee Roth said something in an interview one time, and it was in the 90s when that sort of grunge style music became popular, Pearl Jam and Nirvana and all that. He said, you know, the difference between the music now and the music then is that in the 1980s, all the music smiled.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, boy, what a great way to think of that. It's true. You know, you think of all that sort of big hair band stuff that people might have thought in the moment was too out there or crazy, but really it was mostly just fun,
yeah.
You know? And so I loved those guys, and I loved how talented the Van Halen brothers were, both guitar and drums. And I like to listen to the music in that way. I like to listen, you know, if I'm listening to like Metallica, my wife and my kids are like, oh gosh, Dad, what is this? And I'll say, just stop and just listen to the drummer.
Yes.
Just stop. Can you just pull that apart and just listen to that? You hear how technical that is, and how can you appreciate how much time this person has put into being excellent, not pretty good, excellent at what they do, and how difficult that must be to do what they're doing. And so I don't know that they get that, but I kind of force them to do that sometimes. So I like all kinds of music and would hate to try to just pick three. Man, that's hard.
Well, I expect to hear some Van Halen next home game. I know they're on the road this weekend against FAU, but I want to hear some Van Halen. I want to hear some Unchained or something, man.
Yeah, well, you know, you're going to win a championship, and you got to play Standing on Top of the World.
Yes.
And you've got to have – these are two different bands, right? So one of my closest friends – was just a phenomenal Joel Pace, this phenomenal guitarist that I grew up with. We're the same age. We're best friends, and named my oldest son after his brother. I mean, we're that kind of close. And he was just this fantastic guitarist. And I wanted to be a drummer. That's what I wanted to do. We were going to be in a band. This is going to be great. I'm going to grow my hair long. This is going to be awesome. And he kept getting better, and I kept getting worse. And then football kind of took over for me, which is a good excuse to say why I wasn't good as a drummer. But we've had this conversation. These are two different bands, right? Your David Lee Roth Van Halen is not the same as Sammy Hagar Van Halen. They have the same name. They're not the same band. But
do you want to see Sammy Hagar and Joe Satriani and these guys do a benefit concert, Freddie Van Halen, a remembrance concert? They're talking about doing this, but I don't think it's going to happen. But do you want to see that happen?
Oh. How could you say no to that? Like, what do you mean no?
Well, Wolfgang's not in, by the way. He's not all about it.
Is he against? He's anti?
Yes. He does not want to. He just thinks it'd be a farce. He just thinks it's a money grab.
Well, and it could be. It's like if there's money involved, where's the money go, right? Yeah. But I think any opportunity – look, I don't want to speak for Wolfgang, and you're talking about his dad. But any opportunity to honor people, I think, is nice, and people appreciate it. And you've got a guy like Eddie Van Halen who was, I'm going to use this word twice now today, transcendent in his craft and his ability to play the guitar, and did it for a long time, and is so revered and so admired by people in the music industry, musicians, singers, recording artists, producers, and just fans, by so many, really millions of people. I think people would love the opportunity to just get together and listen to great music that guy played and created. And so I would love to see it, but I respect, Eddie's family if they feel differently.
Well, that is one guy, and I've seen Sammy several times, but I want to see Sammy Hagar one last time, a bucket list. If I have to go to Cabo Wabo to see it, I want to see him play one last time.
I've seen Sammy by himself with his band, but I never saw him with Van Halen, which is a huge regret. But so here's my all-time favorite band that I've never seen live, which I hate, but seen a lot of other great ones, Motley Crue, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, all that whole kind of genre of music is my wheelhouse. And my dad was in the music business, and that's what probably led to my love. He and two other guys owned 9 radio stations when I was a kid. And so, it was oldies music. It was country music. I could sing every song probably from the 50s and 60s, like I wrote them, like you'd be shocked at how well I know all the Motown stuff and whether it's the Four Tops or the Marvelettes or whoever it is, I could sing it with you and the Temptations and Four Seasons and just on and on, these bands that I grew up as a kid. Like, I just thought that was it. But I'm also a huge Eagles fan, right? And then I named all those other people, and we lived in Virginia at the time, and he had a country station there, and it hit. He bought that station, and then all of a sudden there were these people that showed up. The band Alabama showed up, and this guy named Clint Black and Alan Jackson and this guy you might have heard of named Garth Brooks. They all just kind of poof hit the scene, and it exploded. And so then I got this appreciation for that sort of music too, which had been all Merle Haggard and that sort of, Conway Twitty, and it's just been slower Hank Williams Sr. type stuff that I didn't like. But boy, all of a sudden it had this kind of rock feel to it, more upbeat tempo. And anyway, it was a lot of fun.
I feel your passion, man. I love it. We should do a music show together, man. I love it. I love it. It's great. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for your time, man. This is the UAB Director's Chair. We'll do it again next week. We'll catch up with you and bring anything you got to the table. We'll get after it, okay?
Looking forward to it, Johnny. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.